I'm excited about the paperback version of Darwin's Doubt because the publishers allowed me to write a chapter responding to the main critics of the book. And I think this is exciting because it's really going to advance the debate.
So says Stephen Meyer, the author of the explosive New York Times bestseller Darwin's Doubt, which is now being released in an expanded paperback version. In Darwin's Doubt, Meyer lays out the amazing scientific evidence for intelligent design at the dawn of animal life. And he reveals the debates going on among top scientists about Darwin's theory, debates that the mainstream media ignore. Darwin's Doubt has just been released in paperback with a brand new chapter. Get Darwin's Doubt today at darwinsdoubt.com. That's darwinsdoubt.com.
This is Andrew McDermott for ID the Future. Today I'm chatting with Casey Luskin in sunny downtown Seattle about Cosmos, a space-time odyssey, the 2014 follow-up to the 1980 TV series Cosmos, a Personal Voyage, presented by Carl Sagan. The reboot is presented by astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson, and among the executive producers are actor and comedian Seth MacFarlane and Anne Druyan, Carl Sagan's widow and a co-creator of the original series. With its final episode on June 8th and a Blu-ray DVD release on June 10th, it's a good time to look back at the new series and weigh up its impact, positive and negative. Casey Luskin is an attorney with bachelor's and master's degrees in earth sciences from the University of California at San Diego and has a law degree from the University of San Diego. He works as research coordinator at Discovery Institute and has co-authored or contributed to multiple books, including Traipsing into Evolution, Intelligent Design 101, God and Evolution, Science and Human Origins, and the curriculum Discovering Intelligent Design. He's been writing quite a bit about the new Cosmos show, and we wanted to talk to him about the series. Casey, what surprised you about the opening of the new Cosmos series?
Well, I think if there were any doubts that the rebooted Cosmos series would be politically charged and have a materialistic message, I think we should consider what viewers saw in the first 60 seconds of the new Cosmos series during its Fox premiere on March 9th. The series opened with a statement from President Obama, actually, with a presidential seal right there in the background while he was speaking, and he gave an endorsement of the series, praising what he called the spirit of discovery that Carl Sagan captured in the original Cosmos. And I would say that taken alone, President Obama's words are uncontroversial and very politic. There's nothing wrong with them. But immediately following the president's statement, the show replayed Carl Sagan's famous materialistic credo from the original 1980 series that said, "The cosmos is all that is, or ever was, or ever will be." So I'm wondering, is this what President Obama meant when he promised in his first inaugural address to restore science to its rightful place? Or, and I think this is probably more likely, did the president merely give a general endorsement of the series, but that was then co-opted by the producers of the series to create the appearance that the president had endorsed Carl Sagan's materialistic worldview? But I would say whatever the case is, the show's intent to open with a heavy-hitting endorsement of materialism was loud and clear.
So should viewers assume that Cosmos is simply about science?
Definitely not. As a matter of fact, Neil deGrasse Tyson, the astrophysicist who is the host of the series, who, by the way, is a great science communicator. Maybe we can talk about that some more. He admitted to Bill Moyers in an interview that Cosmos has larger non-scientific goals. He said that we must, quote, think of Cosmos not as a documentary about science, unquote, but rather about, quote, why science matters and why science as an enterprise that should be cherished as an activity of the free human mind. He hopes that after watching Cosmos, that, quote, it's these states of minds that you carry with you for the rest of your life. And that doesn't necessarily sound bad. I mean, it's great. I support science. I was a science nut when I was a kid. I remember watching every time the space shuttle went off. My family and I drove all the way out to go watch the space shuttle land once. I mean, I was a science nut as a kid. There's nothing wrong. And I grew up in the 1980s, right after Cosmos came out. There's nothing wrong with getting the public interested in science. But I think that actually Neil deGrasse Tyson means a lot more than that. And there's also certain viewpoints that he really wants to denigrate. So what are those quote unquote states of mind that Neil deGrasse Tyson wants to impart into viewers? Well, when he was asked by Bill Moyers in the same interview whether faith and reason are compatible, he answered, quote, I don't think they're reconcilable. And he later stated that, quote, God is an ever receding pocket of scientific ignorance. A Tyson fan site condenses his worldview and the mission of this group into basically this quote taken from Neil deGrasse Tyson. It says, the more I learn about the universe, the less convinced I am that there's any sort of benevolent force that has anything to do with it at all. So you're not going to find Tyson saying those kinds of things outright in the New Cosmos series, but you're going to find him hinting at those kinds of thinking, the idea that religion and sort of anything that supports a religious worldview or a theistic worldview is bad for science. Throughout Cosmos, Tyson says that he aims not only to influence the public's worldview, but also to, quote, as he put it, compel the electorate to think scientifically. So, as he puts it, they won't, quote, tolerate elected officials whom he calls scientifically illiterate. In particular, he wants to convince people to exclude views that he deems religious from the science classroom. And we've got some of these quotes up on Evolution News, but he basically, I mean, he gets pretty intense. He says that there are certain views that he considers to be religious, and he says, no, I'm not going to allow you in the science classroom. I'm not telling you what to think. I'm just telling you that in the science class, you're not doing science. This is not science. Keep it out. And he calls these things religious philosophies that he wants to keep out of the science classroom. So what exactly are the views that he hopes Cosmos will stigmatize as religious philosophies that need to be kept out of the science classroom? Well, in an interview with the LA Times, which was titled Seth MacFarlane Hopes Cosmos Counteracts Junk Science Creationism, Cosmos' executive producer Seth MacFarlane noted that one motive behind the series is combating what he called a resurgence of creationism and intelligent design, quote-unquote, theory, which he said has caused a real vacuum when it comes to science education. And MacFarlane says he's concerned about what he says is, quote, the rise of schools questioning evolution, which he says is, quote, incredibly damaging to the evolution of any society and means, quote, we've lost our way in terms of scientific literacy. So this is, I think, Seth MacFarlane, one of the executive producers, really spilling the beans here that, yes, Cosmos has a direct agenda to take certain views like intelligent design and to brand them as religious philosophies that need to be kept out of the science classroom. So don't think for a second that Neil deGrasse Tyson, who clearly is a non-believer in religion, has an agenda here in this series to keep views that sort of threaten his own worldview away from science. And of course, Neil deGrasse Tyson is not the only non-religious person involved in the series. MacFarlane is known for creating Family Guy. He's a comedian, as you mentioned, Andrew, and he admits actually that Family Guy is, quote, not family friendly, but he's very much admitted as a, what you would basically call a celebrity atheist. And he stated in an interview with Esquire a few years ago that there have to be people who are vocal about the advancement of knowledge over faith. And I think that this project is part of his efforts to sort of bring an atheistic worldview to the masses. And I think that he was probably tapped to participate in Cosmos with hopes that he could translate Carl Sagan's materialistic message to a millennial audience. He's the producer and creator of this cartoon that's very popular on Fox. I'm sure many of our listeners have seen Family Guy. And so that was why he was brought in on this, to bring sort of a materialistic worldview to popular mainstream America and translating it for a younger audience. There are other atheists that are involved with creating Cosmos. One of the other executive producers, I don't know if you mentioned this in your introduction, but another executive producer of the New Cosmos is Brandon Braga, who's an integral creator of numerous Star Trek episodes. And I have to say, Andrew, when I found out that Brandon Braga was involved in creating Cosmos, I was actually very excited. I'm a huge Star Trek fan. I mean, I've seen every episode of every Star Trek series multiple times, and I'm a big fan of his work. And so it was interesting, I decided to do some background research on Braga to find out, well, what is his worldview, and what is he trying to accomplish through his own creative writing and some of the TV programs that he helps create. And I found a lecture he gave at an international atheist conference in 2006 in Iceland, of all places. And in this conference, he described his involvement in Star Trek as creating, quote, atheist mythology, and stated his, quote, conviction that religion sucks, isn't science great, and how the hell do we get the other 95% of the population to come to their senses? So, of course, he's referring to the 95% of the population and the world that is religious. And he thinks that he needs to convince them that religion sucks and it should be basically replaced by science. He said in this lecture that he gave that Star Trek provides a, quote, template for the world where, quote, religion has been vanquished and reason drives our hearts, a future he, quotes, longs for. So here we have Brandon Braga saying he longs for a future where religion is vanquished and only science is what drives our hearts. And I think that Cosmos is part of his attempt to achieve those goals. In fact, in an interview about Cosmos, he stated that the series aims to, quote, what he believes, this is what he calls, the, quote, dark forces of irrational thinking, since, quote, religion doesn't own awe and mystery. Science does it better, unquote. So, and of course, you mentioned Andrew Yan. That's another one of the executive producers. She was Carl Sagan's wife. I don't think we have to guess about what her worldview was. And she actually co-wrote a number of Carl Sagan's books or contributed some of his books, which tend to have a very materialistic edge. So we don't have to guess about whether or not there's sort of an atheistic agenda behind Cosmos. In fact, these are all basically celebrity atheists who are now trying to use Cosmos as a vehicle to promote their views to the public.
So it's certainly more than about science. They're trying to define science and exclude certain things from science.
No question about it. No, and also attack religion. And we'll get into that. You know, they want to just attack things that are not even science. They just attack old-time religion quite a bit. But we'll talk about that, I'm sure.
Sure. Well, are there any positives about Cosmos? We know it's a flashy program. It uses the latest technology to wow people. Is that part of the appeal, and is that a good thing?
Yes, absolutely. And before offering any more critique, it's important to appreciate some of the genuine positives about the Cosmos reboot. The expensive CGI that animates the series is spectacular, and it appeals to sci-fi fans like me. I love the sci-fi in the movie, and it probably reflects someone like Brandon Braga's influence. Tyson basically tours around the universe in a sleek CGI-generated spaceship of the imagination, and he gives viewers a front-row seat for supernova explosions, black holes, and brilliantly animated alien world. So it's a lot of fun. I mean, I enjoy the series. Another positive is Tyson's gifting as a scientific communicator. And when you combine his ability to communicate science with the outstanding computer animated scenes, he offers lucid explanations of atomic structure, DNA, the electromagnetic spectrum, stellar spectroscopy, molecular machines, plate tectonics, and numerous other scientific concepts. There's a whole bunch of great scenes in the series that talk about just basic, uncontroversial science. And I'm sure that these elements will spark student interest in science. In fact, we're already aware that some public school teachers are expressing their intent to use Cosmos in the classroom to promote student awareness and student interest in science. And that's great. I don't have any problem with teachers trying to get students interested in science. I only wish that Neil deGrasse Tyson and the Cosmos producers had only used this series to communicate science rather than science plus a heavy dose of materialist philosophy. And that's where it gets really dangerous. This is not a documentary just about science. The creators of the series have admitted that it's about trying to push an ideology alongside some great science. And so you kind of mix those two up, it becomes very difficult to disentangle them. And I think that was their goal, to try to get teachers saying, oh, wow, this is a great tool for getting students interested in science. They get teachers to use it in the classroom, and guess what else happens? Students have this materialistic worldview pushed on them. And I can't even imagine how much money they got. I mean, unquestionably millions of dollars to put all this together. And millions of people watching it a week, they're really trying to push hard a materialistic worldview through this series.
Wow. Well, it sounds like there's a lot to unpack here. And Cosmos isn't going away, is it? You're saying it's probably going into the classrooms. It's coming out on Blu-ray and DVD. That'll promote more viewership. So this really is something that isn't going away anytime soon, and we really need to look at what its legacy will be and what its impact is.
Yeah, there's no question. I think we'll be following Cosmos for a long time. The 1980 Cosmos series that Carl Sagan did has had a very long impact on society and culture. You still sometimes see it playing, or you can certainly watch the episodes on YouTube and see what Carl Sagan had to say. I think we'll probably be seeing the same thing with Neil deGrasse Tyson's. People are going to be talking about this for a long time. And I'm okay with that. I'm glad that people will be talking about it. It gets them talking about the issue. I just hope they realize as they watch Cosmos that A, it's not just a documentary about science, and B, a lot of the science it does present is good, but when it gets into controversial issues like the origin of life or the evolution of life, it's very one-sided, leaves out a lot of the evidence. I'm sure we'll talk about that some more. And the history of science as well. Oh my. We'll get into that, but the history of science is probably where Cosmos is most inaccurate. And so it's going to be a dangerous tool for people who want to use Cosmos. They need to be aware they're going to be presenting both a one-sided and inaccurate presentation of a lot of these issues.
Well, thanks for breaking that down for us, Casey, and I look forward to talking with you further about it. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Stay tuned for more episodes with Casey Luskin on Cosmos as we help you separate the science from the materialist philosophy. I'm Andrew McDermott with ID the Future. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2014. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.